We know the effort, both physical and financial, that goes into preparing food. And we don't want you to not think that you are most important to the ongoing of God's great cause. So many times when we write and things of that nature, we send our books to a proofreader to make sure all of the grammatical constructions are correct. But nobody never gave attention to that bookbinder, who is just as important as the person that's writing the book. And I want our ladies and even men that perhaps did some cooking and preparing, you are most important to the ongoing of God's great cause. One other thing I need to say, that now you did a great job in getting your family, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, your co-workers and your classmates here. And of course, we see it's just us up in here now. And I want to tell you, I did not come all of this way to waste any shots. It's just like when you go hunting, you have to choose the right kind of shots. Isn't that right?
Right.
Oh, yes, you have to do that. I mean, if you're going quail hunting, you don't want to take bow shots with you, do you? Because in hunting quails and you shoot a little quail with a bow shot, guess what? You're going to tear that bird up all to pieces. Well, at the same time, if you're going bear hunting, you better not take quail shots. Because if you shoot a bear with quail shots, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get tore all to pieces. And so you have to choose the right kind of shots. And I did not come this far to waste any shots. And so since it's just us up in here, then I'm going to preach to you. Now, tomorrow night come, I'll be ready to preach to them if you invite them. I'll be ready. If you don't invite them tomorrow night, I'm going to preach to you again. Because I didn't come to waste any shots. Now, there were certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast. The same came unto Jesus, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desire him, saying, Sir, we will see Jesus. Jesus Christ, whom we all should desire to see. John chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. We want to talk again about the Jesus whom we should see. The pre-incarnate Christ, the Immaculate Conception, the suffering Messiah, the suffering servant, the death, burial, and resurrection, exaltation, ruling prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ, whom we all should desire to see. If there is one thing in the heart and the life of the child of God, is the fact that you and I know we must walk in the footsteps of our Savior, that we must seek to see our Lord and our Savior. We need to begin with our young people always, to try to get them to understand that they need to seek our Lord early in their life. If there is one thing the Bible teaches, it is that each of us should seek to see our Lord, that we should emulate him, that we should imitate him, that we should have his mind, that his mind should guide every principle of our lives, that we should be seeking to serve and follow our Lord the last day we live on this earth. A long time ago, the wisest man who ever lived said these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 through the end of chapter 12. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, for all these things God will bring you into judgment. The Bible plainly states in that 10th verse that you should remove sorrow from your heart and evil from your ways. For the youth and adorn a life of vanity. Therefore, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days shall come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon knew what youth needed. Solomon, in his rich experience, his great, great knowledge from God, and his inspiration, told each of us what we should do. Every young person would do well to follow Solomon's instructions. Solomon did not live up to the knowledge he possessed. He failed miserably to follow his own advice. But he gave us a philosophy of life that should guide our lives the last day we live on this earth. This is the end of the matter. All have been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This evening, I want to warn and I want to encourage our young people that they should look to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of their faith. They should look to Christ, but they're seeking happiness everywhere else. Right, first, I want to begin with sports and the athletes of our day. A long time ago, right in this part of the country, there was a man that signed a basketball contract who was paid $36 million just to play basketball for 9 months. Is it any wonder that our youth are so sports-minded? Is it any wonder that tens of thousands of our young people go wild every time the season changes and another sport comes upon the scene? Is it any wonder when they see, when they hear, when they read about the astronomical figures that they are making, is it any wonder that our young people themselves desire to excel, that they are willing to do anything and everything in order to squeeze just a little bit more endurance, strength, or whatever the case might be, in order that they might win, they might win, they might win. So many of our young people across America this very day are using performance-enhancing drugs, better known as steroids. And part of the reason why is because of your Barry Bonds. It's because of your Marion Jones. It's because of your Roger Clemens. It's because of the youth. It's because of the youth that are following the athletes of our day. Many of them has been found. Many of them guilty. Many of them has been caught using steroids, even though they're jeopardizing their health, playing Russian roulette with their eyes. But in order to win, in order to achieve, in order to be the very best of the best, they're willing to do anything and everything in order that they might worship at the shrine of excellence on the athletic field. They have forgotten the admonition of the great apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God Almighty teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it do not need to be subjected to things like steroids without the need in order to live. The price of using steroids will ultimately have to be paid. Our young people have sometimes forgotten that God Almighty said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Don't get me wrong, friend. I encourage our young people to go out for sports. It's fine, but it doesn't take first place in their lives. One of the reasons why they do not have their priorities straight is because of their mothers and their fathers. Their mothers and their fathers push them, encourage them, demand of them that they excel, excel, excel. As one great Alabama football coach said years ago, winning is everything. Neighbor, that's a lie. Winning a football game is not everything. Winning a basketball game is not everything. Winning a golf tournament is not everything. Let me tell you who's everything. Jesus Christ is everything. The kingdom of God is everything. That's why we need to get our priorities straight. We need to know and understand what's first, right, and best. We do not need to put sports above our families, above our Christian friends, above the church of the living God and the truth of God's word. We need to stand up for what the Lord has taught, and we do not need to be ashamed of it. We need to pan the kingdom of God and let the schools and the world do as they will. But teach our young people priorities. Many of our young people are seeking happiness not only in sports, but in drugs. Many of our young people start smoking marijuana, inhaling glue, sniffing paint, until they graduate from that and become hooked on hard drugs. It befuddles their mind. It helps destroy their bodies. They quite often degenerate into criminals. and become guilty of crimes of avarice, vice, and theft, immorality, because of drugs, drugs, drugs. Neighbor, drugs have ruined our society. But the Bible still speaks as it always did. So then, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, then shall we live. For as men as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8, 12 through 14. We need to make men and women understand that fleshly gratification, whether by youth or adults, is not the end thing. It's the wrong thing. And that self-discipline and self-denial is taught of God, that God Almighty teaches us, teaches every individual, that if a man will purge himself from these things, he'll become a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. Neighbor, drugs have become so great in our society until it may well destroy this entire nation of America. It may well be that it's gone so far already that there is not anything we can do to stop the flow of drugs into our nation. To stop the use and abuse of drugs in our nation. It may well be that the world's greatest democracy dies not because of your Osama bin Ladens, not because of your Muammar Gaddafis, but because of the use of illicit drugs. And our young people are contributing to it in many areas. Thirdly, our young people are seeking happiness with alcohol. Alcohol is nothing but an ungovernable master. Know you not but to whom you present yourself. His slaves you are to whom you to obey. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. God Almighty teaches us that we must put to death the bondage and the sin that enslaves us. And that we must become slaves of righteousness. Romans 6, 16 through 17. Drugs and alcohol is a hard life, young people. Those adults here that are older in years, I know you can write books about the drunks you've worked with in your lifetime. I know you can write books about the homes that's been destroyed because of the use and abuse of drugs and alcohol. I know you can write books about vehicular fatalities, gang banging, about murder and robbery, drive-by shootings. Why? Because of the use of drugs and alcohol. There's no doubt it has appeal. There's no doubt drugs have an appeal. There's no doubt alcohol have an appeal. Anyone that has ever dealt with people that's involved in it, or any of us that have ever tried it, we know the appeal. But the Bible commands us, the Bible demands us, the Bible tells us that we must crucify the flesh with the lust and the passion thereof. The most vivid picture in the pages of inspiration to a New Testament Christian, you know what that is, neighbor? It is the crucifixion of self. Now you sit there and you think about this. And I want you to tell me why. Why did God choose and use death by crucifixion? Why? It is one of the most painful, the most excruciating death a man can die. It's lingering. It's agonizing. It's long, hard, drawn out, painful, painful suffering. And yet repeatedly, the Bible says a child of God must crucify himself. The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. They that is of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. flesh with the lust and the passions thereof. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Galatians 5:24-25. The Bible says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord, through which I become crucified unto the world, and the world has become crucified unto me. Galatians 6:14. The Bible teaches self-discipline. The Bible teaches self-restraint. Colossians 3:5 tells us that we must put to death, therefore you members that upon this earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Young people, you can put drugs, you can put alcohol and tobacco in that same passage of scripture and do no violence to it. Because they are sins, neighbor. They're sins of the flesh. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Christians, members of the church, we need to warn our young people. Amen. We need to plead with them. We need to teach them to exalt. We must show them in no uncertain terms what they are doing. When they ingest tobacco, when they ingest drugs, when they ingest alcohol into their systems. Any thinking man knows what alcohol will do. Social drinking is forbidden by God, and thinking men repudiate it. Right. Nothing good comes of it. Our young people are seeking happiness with illicit sex. To our young people, it's just parking. It's just petting. It's just pornography. It's just filthy movies, filthy magazines, fornication, adultery. Doesn't the Bible speak of these things? Of course it does. The Bible says, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on this earth. But you die and your life is here with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall be manifest, then shall you be manifested also with him in glory. Colossians 3:2-4. Our young people, let me tell you something. God wants you to understand and recognize that there is a beauty about passion. There is a beauty about sex. There's beauty about marriage. Amen. Right. Young people, listen to me. Before you get your life all fouled up, no marriage, no sex.
It's all right. It's all right.
If you have not said I do, don't. God only allows two people in this world to engage into that activity. Only two. There's a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman or a woman. You can say amen when you get ready. I'm not backing off in not one bit. God only allows two people to engage into that activity. That's a scripture man married to a scripture woman. And they can only engage in that activity with each other. Young people, don't put yourself in a compromising position by inviting somebody over late at night. And then all of a sudden, somebody didn't pay the light bill because the light started going down low.
That's right.
Because when you put yourself in that position, it's no time to have a Bible study. It's no time to grab a songbook and turn and let's start singing 238. There are some sins, temptations in the Bible that tells us that we must pray about. There are some that tells us we ought to put up our sleeves and start fighting. There are some that tell us that we ought to study our way about. But the only temptation in the Bible where I see that comes upon a man, you don't need the Bible. You don't need your songbook. What you need is a good set of Nikes. And you better put them on and you better run for your life.
Amen. It's all right. It's all right.
You better put on your Air Jordan. You better run.
Amen.
My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 6, flee fornication. What does that mean? It doesn't mean sit there and pray. It doesn't mean that, well, let's talk about it. You better take off those beautiful pumps that you wear and put on your Nikes and run. You better run for your life. The Bible says, let marriage be had in honor among all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Hebrews 13:4. Whosoever looketh on a woman that lusts after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 7, and verse 9 tells us it is better to marry than to burn in your lust. Neighbor, if you are not ready for marriage, you are not ready for sex. God says instead of walking around here being hot and bothered, you better find your husband. You better find your wife. He placed that activity only in marriage. That's what my Bible teach me, and I preach the Bible, neighbor. I know that's not popular today, but I still believe what the book says, and that's what I preach. Our young people are also seeking happiness. Let me just get on down and put the fat in the fire. They're also seeking happiness with body tattooing and body piercing. In Romans 12:1-2, I present you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen to it. And be not conformed to this world. Where you get that idea from? Didn't get it from here. And we are boring holes in all kinds of things and all kinds of parts of our bodies. We need to realize and recognize our bodies does not belong to us. We need to recognize that. And we need to become holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Let me list a few more. Our young people are also seeking happiness with filthy music. Okay. It's interesting to observe. Way back in 1935, one of the founders of the communistic empire by a man by the name of Joseph Stalin, he said three things about the United States. If you give me your youth and give me their music, I'll be able to pump drugs in them, and I'll conquer the United States without firing a shot. And I want to tell you, that's what's happening today. We are destroying ourselves. We used to be so busy worried about Russia, but we're destroying ourselves. You can't go around singing about me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. You can't go around singing that about getting in somebody's bed. You just get quiet if you want to. If I preach something wrong or something error, you stop me. It's interesting. Anytime we see the letter A in front of any word in the English language, it always is opposite or negate that meaning. For instance, theist, that's a person that believes in God. But when you put the A in front of theist, you know the answer to that. When we think about the word muse, it's a place where you go and think, categorized by libraries and things of that nature. But then when you put the A in front of muse, it becomes a muse. It means not to think. You see, music, it can bypass your thinking capacity, and it'll have you shrugging your shoulders and patting your feet, and you don't even know what you're patting about. You got to be able to think, young people. Amen. You'll wind up involved in satanic worship, singing about shooting the police, degrading women, and on and on and on I can go. You have to be able to think. Not only that, our young people are seeking happiness with tobacco. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, let me tell you something. nicotine in its purest form, inserted into your bloodstream, will bring instant death. The use of tobacco is just another way of committing suicide on the installment plan. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, it says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wars against the soul. Tobacco wars against the soul. So many times when you preach against it and tell people what the Bible say, you know what the first thing they say? Well, where is the passage of scripture that tell me thou shalt not smoke cigarettes? Where is that passage? I can tell you where it is. It's on the side of the pack. Turn the pack around and read it. That's what the verse is. All you got to do is turn the pack around. We have to be able to think. That's what we have to do. So whether we are puffing it up in the air, or whether we are chewing it out, whether we are dipping it or chewing it, it's against God's law. Our young people, you have great, great, great things that's been presented to you, the type of benefits that you have today. Oh, you can really, really be a productive citizen, not only in the United States, but in the kingdom of God. Amen. The type of jobs, education, the things that are accessible to you. Or you can retire at 30 years old if you want to. But you have to apply yourself. Academic achievement is taking a lot of our young people away from God. Take heed, lest any man make spoil, booty of you, through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians 2 and 8. A lot of our young people wouldn't be immoral, but they are so busy getting an education, they don't have time for God. Doesn't have time for the church, don't have time for personal work, don't have time for daily devotions and Bible study and prayer. They're achieving, 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 but that which you'll achieve will quite often turn to ashes in your mouth, ashes in your life, because in gathering and accumulating, you will lose your soul. You don't turn sin off like a tap of water, neighbor. It becomes a havoc. It becomes a way of life, a lifetime. Time to be born with on this time side of life, and then eternity in the lake of fire. Oh, I can go on and just mention several others, but let me conclude. Not only our young people need to seek to see Jesus, but we parents need to seek to see Jesus also. You know, parents today really doesn't have time to be parents anymore. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6. What do the word nurture means? When you have a little kitten or a little puppy that need to be fed, do you nurture it or do you just wind its tail up and turn it loose? No, don't do that. Proverbs 12 tells us that's sin as well. You nurture it. Amen. You take it. You prepare for it. You warm its milk. You put the milk in an eyedropper or a bottle with a nipple on it, and you coax that little animal to try to get it to eat, to live. That's nurture. Fathers in America today spend 3.5 minutes of quality time on the average per day with their children. 3.5 minutes is not enough nurturing. Fathers are too busy making money. Fathers are too busy providing houses and cars and boom boxes and 20 and 30 inch rims. Can fathers be addicted to drugs? Oh, yes. Can fathers be addicted to materialism? Oh, yes. Can fathers and mothers be addicted to illicit sex? When fathers and mothers do not seek Jesus first, they do not show their children what's right. The greatest influence in our society today is not ungodly television. It is not immorality in the schools. It is not, I want to be like Mike, Jordan, Jackson, Tyson. It is not weak preaching or ungodly elders. It's side parents.
Right now. Amen.
You take a godly child reared in a Christian home, that child has got a foundation to fight anything and everything on this earth. Sorry pulpits, ungodly elders, weak congregations, weak preacher training schools, weak Christian colleges, you name it. But if that child doesn't imbibe the teaching of Jesus Christ through their parents and have the Chinese at home, neighbor, that child is going to fall by the wayside more often than not.
Right.
Looking at their father and mother with that fast life, with that materialism, with that priorities completely out of joint, the child is confused.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So many of our parents today act just as if that these wonderful, loving, precious gifts that God has given us in the form of our children and grandchildren, that we are not going to have to stand before God and give an account for their souls. But God got something for us in the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 28. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. We must work while it yet day, the night come when no man can work. John 9:4. How can parents today think they are going to heaven when through their own negligence are sending their children to hell? Parents need to see Jesus. This sermon may have addressed something in your life. We're going to pause just for a few brief moments to give you an opportunity to correct it. The first of all commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Mark 12 and verse 29. We must recognize the truth. We must have a love for it. We must be willing to correct anything in our lives. We must be willing to do that. How do we do it? We must repent. We must confess Christ. We must be baptized into Christ. You are a member of the New Testament church, and this sermon addressed something in your life that you need to correct. We trust, hope, and we pray that you do so. You need to do it, and you need to do it quickly before the Lord come back. Why won't you do it now?
5:17.